Welcome in to a special live edition of Home Field Advantage. I'm Will Hyland. We're all having a great week or weekend, wherever or however you may be watching or listening to us across our great country or our great land. And from Texas to Washington to Alabama to Michigan, I hope you're enjoying your Sunday afternoon, especially if you're watching with us live on Instagram. We're on Instagram today instead of YouTube, but nevertheless coming on both audio and video platforms. And of course, you can listen to us on audio, wherever you get your podcast, including on Apple, Google, Stitcher, and Spotify. And despite what I said last week about Spotify Wrapped, I hope we are in your Spotify Wrapped in terms of podcasts. But pleasantries aside, it was not very pleasant in certain parts of the country this morning and this afternoon as the day went on, based on the information that we received from the College Football Playoff Committee. This is something that I talked about last week at length, and I was under the impression that Georgia was going to get in no matter what. If you remember a week ago, I thought they would beat Bama. I didn't think it would be a story. I think you were going to end up with a Michigan Georgia Pac-12 winner, and then you were going to end up with either FSU or Texas. That's what I thought was going to happen. I did not think that Alabama was going to pull off the upset, if you can even call it that. I mean, Alabama has beat Georgia in that spot a few times in my, you know, recent adult life. But nevertheless, I did not think that was going to happen. That threw chaos into the mix. What would have made it even more crazy, if you can imagine, would be if Oregon had beaten Washington on Friday night, but that didn't happen. So just to recap, Friday night, you have the Pac-12 championship, the last game ever in the Pac-12. In football, and Oregon can't get off the field on third down. Michael Penix Jr. does what he wants to do in the short passing game, in the quarterback, RPO game. And with that, Washington takes care of Oregon on Friday night. So that immediately eliminates, in my opinion, that immediately eliminated Oregon, obviously, from the College Football Playoff discussion. With that loss, it also, in my opinion, eliminated Ohio State, because then at that point you have a situation where Ohio State wasn't going to get in over either one of those Pac-12 teams, and a lot of people didn't think OSU had a chance heading into the weekend anyway. So you've gotten rid of the 7 and the 8. All right, so you've got 6 left of those 8 teams I talked about last week. Those 8 teams, by the way, that I talked about last week were Georgia, Bama, Oregon, Washington, Texas, Ohio State, Michigan, and Florida State. So we've gotten rid of the Oregon and Ohio State component. Then you go to the remaining 6. All right. And a lot of this was taken care of yesterday. Actually, all of it was. It began with Texas winning the Big 12 over Oklahoma State. I thought Quinn Ewers played amazing. I think Quinn Ewers would look great in a New England Patriots jersey someday. I'm just going to speak that out the same way I spoke out a few years ago about Jalen Hurts looking good in a Patriots jersey. That continues to be true. I think they took the wrong Bama guy that year, or from those years. Anyway, moving on. You had that situation take care of itself. Texas winning the Big 12 propelled them to now be a key component in this conversation. Texas already had wins over a ranked Alabama team and over a ranked Kansas State team. They had also beaten Oklahoma State in their conference championship, and they had only one loss to an Oklahoma team that was ranked 12th at the time of that loss. So Texas comes in, pretty good resume. All right. Then we move on and we have the SEC championship game. Texas is still in the conversation after their Big 12 win. Then you have Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship game in Atlanta. That game is close for the majority of the game, but ultimately, Alabama is able to take care of the ball late and eliminate any opportunity of Georgia getting onto the field to win that game. So Georgia, with their loss, is now in jeopardy because they become like Oregon. And I said this to friends yesterday. The committee has to treat Georgia like they treated Oregon. I know Oregon has had two losses, but in my opinion, they're a conference runner-up with a pretty good resume. But ultimately, Oregon couldn't win their conference when it mattered, and their two losses were to the eventual Pac-12 champion. And meanwhile, Georgia's only loss, their first loss in 2 years, was to the same team that beat them 2 years ago, and that was Alabama. So at this point, you have an SEC champion Alabama team. You have a SEC, you have a Big 12 champion, Texas. You also have an upcoming game with Michigan and Iowa. But you also have the winner from Friday night, Washington. So you have three conference champions going into that last game, going into the Michigan game, that is. And in my opinion, those three deserve to be in. And that's what ended up happening. And we'll get to that in a second. Then finally, Michigan beats Iowa. Michigan remains undefeated, much like Washington. That's an automatic in. Undefeated conference champ, so we thought, until Florida State finishes their season 13-0 with a win over Louisville, 16-6. Florida State hasn't had Jordan Travis, their quarterback. He's been hurt. He broke his leg a couple weeks ago. They won despite missing him. And they finished 13-0. So that's an undefeated team. In fact, the only undefeated team outside of Washington and Michigan is Florida State. So we have those three conference winners I talked about. We have a fourth conference winner in Michigan. And we have a fifth conference winner in Florida State. And so if you're going solely on conference winners, you have five pretty compelling conference winners that should have a shot at the playoff. But as we learned today, and if you're listening later in the week, as we learned on Sunday, one of those teams was left out. And that team was the only team of those five that was missing their starting quarterback, and that I believe would be not favored against any of the remaining four. So if the goal of the college football playoff is to pick the four best teams with the four best resumes, then that's what the committee did. If the goal is to give it to the team that with the best record, then that's not what happened. And you can look to recent years and see where this happened. Even last year, TCU lost their conference title game, but their resume throughout the season was enough for them to get in. Georgia, on the other hand, lost their conference title game this year, but their resume really wasn't as compelling despite not losing a game in 2 years. And I think that's why Alabama gets in. Their resume, only loss came to Texas. Texas, their only loss came to Oklahoma. And Oklahoma was ranked. Texas won their conference. Texas won a conference that was fairly pretty good. Michigan won a conference. They beat Ohio State. They beat Penn State. They beat who they needed to beat when they needed to beat them. They beat Iowa. Washington, they beat Oregon twice when it mattered. They beat Utah, right? You know what I mean? So if the goal was to pick the team with the best record, then Florida State should have got in. But as I just mentioned, if the goal was to pick the four best teams that present the best opportunities to get into the to win a national championship, at this moment, they chose the four best teams. That might make some people pissed off, but that's, you know, including politicians in Florida and people in in people in the college football world or people in the ACC, Florida State being left out might piss some people off. But ultimately, the committee did their job. They picked the four best teams with the best resumes. I look at Texas, and of the four that got in, Michigan being one, Washington being two, Texas being three, and Alabama being four, of the four teams that got in, Texas is the one that you can point to with a little bit of a question mark. So I pulled up Texas's schedule. Texas opened the year with a win against Rice. Then they beat Alabama on the road in week two. All right, so they have a road win against another top conference winner. Washington didn't have that. I don't believe any other team had that. I think Texas had that resume chip is what got them into the college football playoff. To my knowledge, Michigan didn't beat any of the remaining four Power Five champs. Alabama did not. And Washington did not. And Florida State did not. So if you take that into account, they did what they should have done, and they had the right decision made. Texas went on. They beat Wyoming. They had a road win out in Baylor. They had a home win against Kansas, who was ranked at the time. They had that neutral site loss in the Red River Shootout against Oklahoma. Then they had wins at Houston, home with BYU, home with Kansas, at TCU, at Iowa State, home against Texas Tech, and then at the neutral site yesterday in the conference championship, in which they won by four touchdowns. So if you wanted to look at any team that may have does not deserve to be in there, it's Texas, right? You would think, because it's a weaker conference compared to the SEC, and they had a loss. Florida State didn't. But then you do go to the SEC champion, Alabama. Their resume, still pretty good. If I do say so myself, Alabama's resume. Yes, they had the loss against Texas, but Texas is a conference champ. You lose to a conference champ, but you beat Georgia, who hadn't lost a game in 2 years. I think that cancels it out. I think that's what the committee saw. But Bama had wins when it mattered. They had a win at home against their ranked Tennessee. They had a win at home against their ranked LSU. They had a win at home against the ranked Ole Miss. They had a win on a neutral site yesterday against the best team from the last 2 years, Georgia. They had a win in the Iron Bowl at Auburn with another miracle comeback. That's their resume. They get in. And then Washington and Michigan, I think, were in anyway. They were undefeated. And Michigan, people say Michigan played a cupcake schedule. I'm sorry, when you're in the Big Ten and you're playing all those games and you played Ohio State, who was ranked one at the time of the meeting, and you win that game, you deserve to get in. Look, they didn't play anybody good until Penn State, but they beat Penn State on the road. They beat Maryland on the road. They beat Ohio State at home, and then they beat Iowa in their conference championship, all without Harbaugh at the end. And whatever you want to make of that is up to you, but they won when it mattered, and Georgia did not, and Oregon did not. And so that's why neither one of those teams got in. And then lastly, all right, we're going to talk about Florida State here in detail. We're going to look at their resume. Their best win was versus a ranked LSU team in week one. Now, I'll be the first to say that I don't know a whole lot about college football in terms of the offseason and who's supposed to be ranked what. But I will tell you that preseason rankings are a little bit of a joke. So when you beat a ranked opponent in week one, I mean, that LSU team's great. Jaden Daniels had a great year. He should be in Heisman consideration. But I'm not sure that is enough to, you know, take out something that Texas, Washington, Bama, or Michigan has on their resume. They beat a Duke team when Duke was still ranked. But again, Duke being your other signature win isn't exactly the same as Bama beating a ranked Ole Miss, a ranked LSU, a ranked Tennessee. And a lot of people are talking about the margin of victory for a lot of the Alabama wins or whatnot, or how Alabama just squeaked by. I'm not a Bama defender. I'm just telling you, if you put their resume up against Florida State, the one loss that Bama has is to a conference champion, Texas. All right. They also beat four other ranked teams. Florida State might have won their conference, might have gone undefeated, but if you're going to pick on Michigan for having a cupcake schedule, Wake Forest wasn't who they were supposed to be this year. Pitt sucked this year. Syracuse is never good anymore. I mean, Boston College, that was a close win, barely on the road. They weren't as great as they have been, but they were still better than what a lot of people expected. And, you know, Florida, they beat Florida on the road. I mean, I'm just saying that Florida State's resume was not as good as Alabama's or Texas's. That's just the way it is. And if you're going to stack them up, nobody is saying that Florida State was a bad team. But if you stack them up against the other teams that were put into the playoff, I think the committee made the right decision, because their job is not to put the teams with the best records in the top four, because your record in college football is very subjective if you play in different conferences. It was their job was to put the people with the best resumes in the playoff and the teams that are considered the best on paper. That's their job, and they did that. Because if you put Florida State up against any of the other teams that were being talked about, whether it was Alabama, whether it was Ohio State, whether it was even Oregon, and you asked Michigan, who do you not want to play? They would say, I don't want to play Ohio State, I don't want to play Oregon, and I don't want to play Georgia. They probably would have picked, if they had their chances, to pick Florida State, because they were the team with the weakest resume and without their starting quarterback. And look, I understand they should not be penalized for their starting quarterback getting hurt, but I don't think that had as much to do with them not getting in as everyone else believes. I really don't. I think if you look at their resume, as I just laid out, they did not have as good of a resume on paper against wins against ranked teams that Alabama had. And ultimately, that was the decision. And Alabama's signature win happened to be the day before, right? Florida State's signature win was like 12 weeks ago, right? Like, recency bias is a thing in the college football playoff. I'm not throwing that out. I'm not going to pretend that's not true, but it is a component. If your best win came, you know, against a Duke team in October or against an LSU team in August, meanwhile, it's December and Alabama had just beat an undefeated team for 2 years the day before, the committee is going to look at that and say, I think Alabama is a better team right now. Same thing with Texas. Texas beat Alabama, and by virtue of, you know, the cumulative property, if A equals B and B equals C, then C equals A, right? If Texas is better than Alabama and Alabama is better than Florida State, then I guess Texas is better than Florida State, right? Like, you know, it's that same logic, right? And even though I mentioned how Texas had some problems and a lot of people thought, you know, maybe their resume wasn't even as good as Alabama's or Michigan's or Washington's or Florida State's or whatever, they still beat the only other conference champion out there in the Power Five. They're the only other team to have beat the only other champion, right? And that, again, means a lot. And so even though that signature win for Texas was, in fact, 8 weeks ago, I think the idea that then Alabama became who they were that day helped Texas's resume, right? If Texas had that same record and the same title – but Bama had lost to Georgia, then Texas's resume doesn't mean as much because Texas is just another one of those conference champions like Florida State who has a good but not great resume. Mike on the live chat says, great insight, but F Alabama, LMAO. It's true. I mean, there's a lot of Alabama hatred out there. There always has been in the CFP because I tweeted a meme out yesterday of Marty McFly in Back to the Future saying, hey, I've seen this one before. Because that's true. Alabama creates chaos in the CFP. Would have been a lot easier if Georgia wins their conference, right? Because if Georgia wins their conference, you can make an argument that Georgia, Michigan, Washington are in, and so is Florida State, because you have four undefeated teams, right? Four undefeated teams, four playoff spots, there you go. But when there's only one undefeated team, and that undefeated team doesn't have the same recent sexy win that Alabama and Texas now do by virtue of one another, then you get left out. And so I think if Georgia had done their job like I thought they were going to do, and I was wrong about that, I thought Georgia would have won that game yesterday. If Georgia wins their game like they're supposed to, being the number one team, then I think you can say Georgia, Michigan, Washington, and Florida State get in, because Alabama would have had two losses. There you go, you're out. And Texas would have had not as great of a resume because they didn't beat the only other remaining conference champ. So, unfortunately, Florida State was a victim of their own success in some regard because they were winning so many games, but their wins weren't exactly enough, in my opinion, and apparently in the committee's opinion, to put them in to the dance. And it really sucks for Florida State. I know those guys worked hard, but they're still going to get a great opportunity. I know it's no consolation to winning a national championship, but they're going to have a great opportunity. I don't know what bowl game they have. Let's see if they've released that. Some people might know, and if you do, drop it in the comments. We have a couple of people watching. But it looks like they are going to play Georgia on December 30th. In the Orange Bowl. So they're still going to have a great opportunity to go beat Georgia, who is still, despite their loss yesterday, one of the best teams in college football. Like, a lot of people thought, myself included, that maybe Georgia would have made it in regardless. But I think the nature of it all would have been hard for that to really work. And people would have been going absolutely bananas if two SEC teams had made it into the playoff and left out somebody from the Pac-12 or the Big Ten or ACC, what have you. But Florida State, again, not taking anything away from them in terms of their competitiveness and what they've done without Travis. But I think that when it comes to these decisions, it's going to come down to who's the best team at this moment in time and who is favored. Who would be favored on a neutral site against one another, and also who has the best resume. And ultimately, I don't think they really stood that up. And it sucks because you, as somebody who's very meritocracy-minded, I would want a team that's undefeated, who has no blemish on their record, to be considered one of the best. But they're still going to have a great opportunity to go and beat a Georgia team and finish 14-0 and say, look, guys, we might have had the best college football season ever, 14-0, with wins against Georgia to cap it all off, and our ACC championship crown right here, and then nothing to show for it in terms of the national championship. But they might be able to actually say, like a lot of teams want to say, that they deserve to be there if – you know, retroactively, you know, it's not like a couple of years ago where USF tried to say that. If Florida State beats Georgia, that's as big of an advertisement for expanded playoff that I've ever seen. And I'm glad that that they're going to do it anyway. So I guess, as I mentioned last week, if there's any year, this is the year in all of my experience since they launched this in 2014. Or 2013, whatever year that was. This is the most influential year in which I think that they should have had an expanded playoff that I can remember. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Home Field Advantage. I hope if you're a Wolverine fan, a Husky fan, a Longhorn fan, or a Crimson Tide fan, you rest easy tonight. And unfortunately, if you like the Bulldogs, the Seminoles, the Ducks, or the Buckeyes, you're going to go to bed with a sour taste in your mouth one way or the other and think about what could have been. But the bottom line is all of these teams that got out, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Oregon, OSU, or whomever, they're still going to have a huge opportunity in a marquee bowl game against a marquee opponent to have their season go right. And we'll find out who wins the Heisman. I think if I was a betting man, I would choose Bo Nix. But I think Jaden Daniels should win, personally. Or Marvin Harrison Jr. But maybe that's a concept for another day. As I said, that's going to do it for this episode of Home Field Advantage. You can follow us on social right here on Instagram at Home Field Pod, and also on Twitter at Home Field Pod. Check out our profile on Instagram as well for a link to our merch store. We'd appreciate it if you check that out. In the meantime, we'll be back on Wednesday with a new episode, but you have been listening and watching Home Field Advantage. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. Be sure to also check us out 2 times a week on those platforms, on Monday and on Thursday. All of the Sportland USA programs are independent, and the opinions expressed in them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.